Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue, and we appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time for Bible Crossfire. As the announcer said, if you have a Bible question or comment, you may call us. And now's a good time since the lines are wide open. The number is 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on our first call, I thought I would continue our discussion from last week. As a matter of fact, several times in the last few weeks, we've had callers, people call in to defend false teachers. Those who teach something contrary to, different than what the Bible teaches. For example, as we brought out, some denominational preachers teach that Buddhists, for example, can be saved without ever believing in Christ. But here's what the Bible says about that. John 8:24, Jesus said, "I said unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." So Jesus makes it clear you have to believe in him or you'll die in your sins. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Some denominational preachers will say you can be saved without ever believing in God or Christ. This says without faith it is impossible to please him. The most famous verse in the Bible makes this crystal clear. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. That verse makes it crystal clear, as I said, that you have to believe in Christ to be saved. So, Buddhist, Muslim, Jews, they're not going to be saved unless they change and believe in Christ. Some denominational preachers will say, no, they can be saved even if they never believe in Christ, just if they're faithful to their own religion. That is a false teacher, my friend. Let's notice what 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says about false teachers. Here's how it reads. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in condemnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." So, according to that verse, false teachers are destroyed, that's spiritually, and they cause those they teach or convert to be condemned. Friends, we've got to take this seriously. People in the last few programs have been calling in to defend false teachers, people teaching different than the Bible. They have defended them. But this says that false teachers will be destroyed. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. We see the same from Matthew 15:14, which reads, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Here we have Jesus making an analogy. He taught a lot through analogy. Two men are walking through the pasture. Let's say they come upon a ditch. Both of these men are blind. What's going to happen? They're both going to fall into the ditch. Now, the blind leader here represents the false teacher. The blind follower represents us if we allow the false teacher to lead us astray. The ditch represents H-E-L-L, being lost. What this is saying is that the false teacher and those who follow the false teacher are going to be lost. Some have called in and said, no, these false teachers, it's okay to be a false teacher. They're not going to be lost, but this verse says they will be. They're going to fall into the ditch. Now think of why this particular false teaching, the one we've mentioned about saying you don't have to actually believe in Christ to be saved, think about why this particular false teaching is so dangerous. If Buddhists, for example, or Jews, think they can be saved without ever believing in Christ, why would they ever investigate the Christian religion to see if it's true? There's no motivation. If they're going to be saved like they are, why should they ever change and believe in Christ? And, on top of that, if Christians believe the theory that Buddhists can be saved as they are, without believing in Christ, why will Christians feel the need to make any effort to preach to the Buddhist or to convert the Buddhist? If they are okay as they are, why to go to all that trouble? So this particular false doctrine is very dangerous. Do you see why? Teaching that a person, A person can be saved without believing in Christ. That is a false teacher. If you have a Bible question or a comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Some other passages that show that false teachers will be lost include Matthew 15, verse 9. Here's how that verse reads. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So if a person teaches the commandments of men instead of the commandments of God, and that would include me if I were to do that, my worship becomes vain, meaning useless or worthless. And certainly we can't go to heaven if our worship is vain, useless, or worthless. So if I teach the commandments of men instead of the commandments of God, my worship is vain, I would be lost. Do you see how that proves that false teachers would be lost? Now, to teach that a person can be saved without believing in Christ, would that be a commandment of men or a commandment of God? It's got to come from one of those two places. Well, it didn't come from God. It's not anywhere in the Bible. The Bible makes it clear. It says it over and over and over. You got to believe in Christ to be saved. So this teaching that a person that's a Buddhist or a Jew or a Muslim can be saved without believing in Christ, that's got to be a commandment of men. Anybody who teaches and believes that or implements that, their worship becomes vain, useless, or worthless. You can't go to heaven like that. Here's another passage that shows that false teachers will be lost. Galatians 1 verse 9. It says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So anybody that teach a different gospel than Paul, what Paul taught, the New Testament gospel, the true gospel, the Bible says, let him be accursed. That means lost spiritually. And then how about Revelation 22, 18 and 19? The Bible says there, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the book of this prophecy, or the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You see, if we add to or take away from the word of God, God is going to take away our part out of the book of life. What's the book of life? Well, that's like a book that God has that has the list of the names of all the saved people in it. This says if we add to or take away from the word of God, in other words, we teach things that aren't in the word of God, we're teaching false, then our name will be taken out of the book of life. We will lose our salvation. You know, some people teach that you can't lose your salvation. Some churches teach that, but this passage shows that you can. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, I think, is a companion passage to this verse. It says, Jesus said there, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So this verse says, if we will overcome, referring to temptation or persecution or a combination of both, if we overcome, our name will not be blotted out of the book of life. But the implication is if we don't overcome, that our name will be blotted out. Now, your name wouldn't be in the book of life to start with unless you were saved to start with. And then when it's blotted out because you don't overcome, that means your name's not in the book of life anymore. You've lost your salvation. A lot of churches, a lot of preachers teach once saved, always saved. When they do that, they are teaching false. That makes them a false teacher. And we've already shown a number of passages, four or five, that show that false teachers are going to be lost. It doesn't matter how famous they are or how much good they might have done benevolently. If they teach contrary to the word of God, they're a false teacher and they're going to be lost unless they repent. 877-655-6755 is the number to call. If you have a Bible question or comment on this particular topic or any Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. You know, preachers like this who teach that you can be saved without believing in Christ are a perfect example of someone who knows the truth but succumbs to the pressure of what we call today political correctness. They preach the truth on this issue when they're preaching to their congregations, but when they're put on the spot in public interviews, they know they will be heavily criticized for saying, for example, Buddhists and etc. will be lost, so they cave in. they cave in to the political pressure. The following verses show we must not cave in to political correctness, but instead we should stand up for Christ and His teaching. The first one, John 12:42 and 43, which reads this way: "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Now, did these chief rulers know the truth? Yes, they believed on Christ. They knew who He said He was. But they weren't willing to confess Christ because they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see that? Knowing the truth, but bowing to political pressure. Wanting to be politically correct. That's what most of these preachers are doing who say you don't really have to believe in Christ to be saved. They know better. If they've ever even looked at the Bible for 5 minutes or more, they know you have to believe in Christ to be saved. But they say that you don't because that's the politically correct thing to say. It's sad, but they do that. Here's another passage, Matthew 10:32 and 33, which reads this way: "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So if we teach something that's false, we bow to political correctness and teach something that's false, like you don't have to believe in Christ to be saved, Jesus will deny us before the Father on the judgment day, the same way that we're denying Him and what He teaches today. Chris from Maryland, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, first off, I just want to thank you for what you're doing, because a lot of people need clarity on the word. But I thought I just heard you say something about preachers who preach once you're saved you're always saved, and I'm just curious why you don't feel like that's not the case, and I really want to be educated on it, because I think there's a verse in there that says something about never being plucked out of His hand. Can you kind of speak to that a little bit? And
well,
I'm gonna hang up, please, if you don't mind.
Well, Chris, before you hang up, if you don't mind, what did you think about the passage I quoted in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, that says, "He that overcometh, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life"? Wouldn't that imply that if we don't overcome, that God will blot our name out of the book of life?
The only way that I know that you can lose your salvation is through blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And
okay.
That's
Matthew
the way
12.
I interpreted that, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's the way I interpreted that, so.
Hey, Chris, I'm going to let you hang up. You said you wanted to hang up, but listen, and I'll give you another verse or two in just a moment, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for your good call, Chris. You know, one of the first passages that I think of when people say you can't fall from grace is Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, that says some people had fallen from grace. Let me read that verse. "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." So some preachers will say, no, a Christian can't fall from grace. But this verse says that people, if they do such and such, they are fallen from grace. So it is possible to fall from grace. Now, you can't fall from a tree if you've never been in that tree. You can't fall from grace unless you've been in grace. You have to be saved first, be in grace. Then when you fall from grace, that's losing your salvation. It is very possible for a Christian to lose his salvation. When a person becomes a Christian, he's making a commitment to follow Christ with all his heart, soul, and mind. He has to follow through on that commitment. If he decides to quit and turn away from God, he loses his salvation. Matthew from California, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, in regards to what you just said, I disagree with that statement. You will lose your reward, but what you're saying is not true, because if you're saved by grace, then what you're saying is you have to keep it by works, and that is not the gospel.
Well, that's strange, because I would say there's over 100 passages in the Bible that prove conclusively that a Christian can lose their salvation. Now, I know that wishful thinking tells us we don't want it to be that way, but the Bible teaches it is that way. Let me read you a passage in Hebrews chapter 3. Now, in Hebrews 3, verse 1, he's talking to holy brethren. And in verse 12, he says, "Take heed, brethren." Verse 1 says, "They're holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling," because these are Christians. Verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's what we're talking about. A person comes to God, he becomes a Christian, he's saved, but he departs from God. He loses his salvation. Here, Hebrews 3 verse 12 shows it's possible for a Christian to depart from God. Now, what does John 3:36 say about a believer who becomes an unbeliever? John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now, what does that verse say about a person who is an unbeliever but changes and becomes a believer? Well, it says he's going to be saved. Then, by the same token, what would it say about a person that's a believer and changes to become an unbeliever? Well, it says, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life." You lose your salvation if you depart from God, and Hebrews 3:12 shows that is very, very possible. Michael from Kentucky, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, my comment, the scripture I read, you cannot lose your salvation once into Christ. If you read in Romans, it clearly states that blessed is the man whose sin will not be counted against him. You know, we've been grafted into the tree, just like Abraham's covenant. The Jews are saved, not by their works, but by their faith, by the promises that God made to Abraham. We've been grafted into the tree, the Gentile into the Jew, once we've accepted Jesus Christ.
You know, that verse in Romans that Michael referenced is Romans chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin." Now, who is that man? Is that a man who had once become a Christian but now is a murderer, a rapist, an adulterer, a liar? Is that who it's talking about? You know, that kind of person is going to be saved? No. This is saying that the Lord will not impute sin to a person because he has been forgiven for his sin. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I think would be a good passage to read at this point. It's talking to Christians. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, taking that back into Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, who is the man that the Lord will not impute sin to? Well, it's the one that's been forgiven. Now, if you're a Christian and you sin, what do you have to do to be forgiven? According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins." So suppose we have a Christian, he becomes a Christian, but later he changes his attitude and he becomes a murderer or a rapist and he refuses to repent. He refuses to confess his sins. Does 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 say he's going to be forgiven anyway? No, it implies that if he's not willing to confess, if he's not willing to turn from his sins, to repent of his sins, Acts 8 verse 22, that he will not be forgiven. So what happens to a Christian who goes back into sins? He departs from God, Hebrews 3 verse 12. He goes back into sin and he refuses to repent. The Bible teaches that God's not going to forgive him till he repents. It's clear on that matter. Matter of fact, I teasingly like to challenge my listeners that if they'll turn to any random page in their Bible and tell me what page they're on, I believe I can find at least one or two passages on that page, and I'm teasing to some extent, at least one or two passages on that page that prove conclusively that once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. I mean that the Bible has verse after verse after verse after verse that proves once saved, always saved is true. The people who teach once saved, always saved is basically just wishful thinking for them. That's the way they want it to be. Therefore, they say that's the way it is, even though there's no Bible justification for it. James 5, 19 and 20, read this way. "Brethren," so he's talking to Christians, "if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." That's another passage that proves conclusively once saved, always saved is not true. It's talking to brethren. It's talking about a brother who errs from the truth. And it says our responsibility to a brother who errs from the truth is to try to convert him back. And if we convert him back, it says we save a soul from death. Now, what does that imply about if we aren't able to convert him back? Then his soul will die. That's what the verse says. If we convert him back, we save a soul from death. Implying that if he's not converted back, his soul will die. He'll be lost. Now, this is not talking about a person that's never become a Christian to begin with. It's talking about brethren who err from the truth. If they err from the truth and they refuse to repent, we're not able to win them back, their soul dies. Clearly, they're lost. Once saved, always saved is the furthest thing from the truth you can find in the Bible. Somebody made it up because that's what they wanted the truth to be, not because the Bible ever taught anything like that. Alpha from Kentucky, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
My question is, I've been through combat, and the problems I have is when my subconscious is it doesn't have a defense at night, and the brutality, the mayhem that took place in combat comes back and relives in my dreams at night. And I wake up and I feel like I have to pray to God for forgiveness of the sins that I have committed in my dreams. And I've had psychiatrists say, well, you don't need to do that. And I've had...
Alpha, I'm not a psychiatrist. Let's continue this conversation after the program. We don't have time exactly to deal with this in depth, which I think I would like to talk to you about this in depth. Can you send me an email and let's talk about this in depth later?
Let me try to find a pen and paper.
Okay. Well, BibleCrossfire@email.com. It's very easy to remember. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Let me hear from you, Alpha, and we'll talk over the telephone, talk over email. Let's talk about this in depth. Cheryl from Virginia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I'm calling because I have a question. If Jesus Christ was a Jew, then why don't the Jewish people believe that he is not their Savior?
Well, you know, I can't read people's minds, but it's possible. There are some indications in the New Testament that what the Jews, now this was never taught by the Old Testament, but what the Jews were expecting when they were expecting a Savior was somebody who could lead them in battle, like a great general, like the United States General Patton, a great general who could lead them to beat the Romans in war and get them out of being... See, they, at that time, they were subject to Rome. And they were maybe expecting somebody who could lead them in battle against the Romans, but that's not the kind of Savior Jesus was at all. He was not a political king, leader, or Savior. He was there to save people from their sins. They had the wrong idea about the Savior, and maybe that's why they rejected him, Cheryl.
I see. Okay. I always wanted to know that, and they don't believe that their Messiah has come, and I just didn't understand the disconnect there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can't read anybody's mind, and people may not believe in Christ for different reasons, but isn't it true that Jesus said in Mark 16:16, Cheryl, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? And if Jesus said that, that means that people that don't believe in Christ won't be saved. Right, Cheryl?
That's right.
And it also means that people who are not baptized won't be saved. Because Jesus didn't just say, all you got to do is believe. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see my point, Cheryl?
Yes, I do.
So it's like that song that you probably sing at church, and I do too. Trust and Obey. Do y'all ever sing that song?
Yes.
So
that's an old one.
Yeah, very old, and it's right. The Bible teaches what that song teaches is that not only do we have to trust in God, we have to obey Him to be saved. Cheryl, we appreciate your call.
Thank you.
We're going to have to go off the air in 5 or 10 seconds. If you want to talk further about anything that we've discussed, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com.